Hello and welcome to the graduate series of the Chatty Freelancer podcast, a special series where I give graduates from Glasgow Caledon University a chance to let their personalities shine as they bark into the creative industries. Today, in this episode, I am joined by Michael. Hello, Michael, and welcome to the podcast.
That was such a seamless switch. We're having such a casual conversation. It's, hi, welcome to the Chatty Freelancer. Hi.
I know, you've got to switch the podcast mode on, do you know what I mean?
I know, it's just a little switch.
So professional now.
No, I've done the same many times with my presentations. I'm having a little gab, then all of a sudden I put a little accent on to go, hi, welcome to the presentation. We're talking about this.
Yeah, it's like a personality switch. Yeah, I know. But it's super chill. We're here to relax and just answer some really cool questions. So I sent you a list of questions from creative directors and studio owners in the industry, and you have picked five. So we'll just get stuck right into it, Michael.
Exciting, no?
Yeah. So your first question was, did you receive any tough feedback and how did you deal with it?
Many a times. I can refer back to my college years, to my university years. It probably would be the most simple answer, but it's just asking what went wrong, how can I fix it, how can I not do this again?
Yeah.
It's just a simple one because obviously I'm a newbie. I'm not an expert with any sort of design. So I want to make sure I can learn a lot from any mistakes that I've made.
Mm-hmm.
I can recall off the top of my head one example. It was my honours this year. I was trying to get back and forth with my mentor and trying to figure out like the best solution for me to create a really strong and precise honours project.
Yes.
But I had problems with interviews. I couldn't get interviews arranged. So it was quite tough. And I was basically in the mindset of, I can't really get these interviews arranged. I can't really do them. But mm-hmm. It was like, no, you need to get these interviews arranged. You need to just push out and do it. So yeah. I got that all sorted. And the honours project went a lot smoother, which was good from that. So yeah. It's not really like a criticism design aspect, but it's more like a criticism and an approach aspect. So I've had that sort of critique before. So it's just making sure I'm a bit more in my face, like, do this, because if you do this, you won't regret it. And I'm very glad I did be a bit more out there, because I tried to be extremely specific with who I wanted to speak to. And I think I should have just been a bit more like, hey, you've played football before. Do you want to talk to me about this? No problem. So, yeah.
So, who talked to us a bit about that then, like your dissertation? So, what was the context there? Like, what project
were
you
doing? My dissertation project was seeing if I could create a UI UX resource that would potentially try and see more men and women feel encouraged to play cross-gender football together.
Oh, nice. Cool.
So I tried to explore potential interviewing, potentially people who have like potentially played it. And I reached out to like groups who would organise unisex football games, but I didn't really get any responses back. And I was like, I'm not really getting anything here, so I may have to just go off my survey. But the most beneficial thing I'd done was actually reach out and just speak to someone who I knew who played football, because it turns out they actually played unisex football. So I was like,
perfect.
I was stressing over nothing.
No, the age old tale.
I know, actually. That's one that I've had. It's a strong one, but I was very glad that I was told, just be a bit more out there. Don't try and be so specific, because you could speak to anyone and they'd probably give you something that would be really
useful.
Good for your project.
Yeah. So is that something you're like passionate about, you're already kind of interested in, like, that's
yeah,
type
I like
of football.
I do like football a lot, and it's also a frustration as well I had, because I was part of a football group at the university, but then it all sort of just went, it didn't happen anymore.
Yeah,
so I sort of lost people to play football with. So when I was speaking to my supervisor, Dave, about like what could I do potentially to try and create a project, as he said, well, why don't you try and encourage like a cross-gender football element? And fingers crossed the projects went well, but I got results back.
What did you do? Like, what was the end result?
The end result was basically I created an app which highlighted the idea of a self-assessment of a player's skill level.
Okay.
To try and basically have a more comforting like connection. So say you're, instead of going on an app and finding a person who plays football, that person could be at a complete different skill level to you. Because when I was doing my research, I found that a lot of people wanted to have like a sort of like inclusive like element of, they don't want to feel judged, they don't want to feel stigmatized against. So the idea was, when I looked at an app, they had something which had a skill level, but you couldn't really utilize it or search it. It was just like a little profile personalization. So I was like, what if I just create something that's along the lines of that sort of idea? And the response I got from the user groups, focus group, was pretty positive. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Like, I'll say to you, like, that's something that, for me, so I grew up playing football. I played football until I was about 14.
Okay.
And I absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved it. And then I kind of came away from it. And then, you know, the past like year or so, I keep telling myself I want to go back into playing it. Like, I really loved it. But I'm so scared that I'll go and people have been doing this for ages and they're better than me. Like, I'm a bit more rusty. Like, I haven't done it in a long time. And it's like, if I was able to find football, like five a sides or seven a sides, that was similar skill level, I'd be so much more comfortable going there knowing everyone's in the same boat. I'm not going there and they're like fucking doing like Maradona's and that. <You're> like...
I know, because I've had that as well, because I joined the recreational football team because of that reason, because I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to play for an actual team. My fitness level wasn't there because it was just after COVID, so obviously not a lot of people were doing a lot of physical exercise. Most I did was walking and that was it. But I wanted to join that, and it was like a good level of balance, but you could obviously see like an imbalance in teams, so I wanted to try and make sure that sort of idea of like people not feeling intimidated by the idea of this is a person who used to play football, they're in one team, and then there's someone who just wants to get into it. There's a big clash there, so I wanted to try and eviscerate that completely, take it out, and just purely focus on the idea of you can find who you want to find and make it in a very inclusive app. So fingers crossed that when the marks come in.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I'd love to see that as well. So your second question that you picked was, can you tell us about a problem that you were faced with and how did you overcome it?
Well, I can refer back to my honours. It was a big problem because that was like the bitter end of my year. So as I said, just actually reaching out and being a bit more like vocal instead of trying to be a bit more like private with my recruitment.
Yes.
As I said to you, I'm not the most outgoing, exuberant, extroverted person. I like to try and like keep things in a structured format. So I was like, okay, I'm going to contact these people and that'll be me. But as I was talking to my mentor, he said you need to be a bit more out there, push a bit more out there, but these sort of things, a bit more open, because there's so many people who have issues with this, so you don't need to try and like immediately go for like a group that you know could have good answers. You could just speak to anyone and they might have an answer for you, and as I found out, they had a lot of answers for me.
you're right that's good then, because so that's like kind of, is that been, would you say that's been your sort of your biggest problem in university, 100%. Is sort of feeling a bit like, you know, you're being a bit narrow where really you should be
I'm
more open.
I'm very tunnel visioned with my approaches. I have one idea and I'll run with that idea, but then it will come to a stage where it's like maybe 2-3 weeks and a project deadline's due and I'm like, this is actually not going to work. This needs to be reevaluated a little bit. So it's gotten better, I have to say. Like after I've had that little chat with my mentor, I've been a lot more like open with my ideas. I make so many ideas now, more than I used to now, so it's very good. I did a project this year. It was with Scoot.
Yeah, the branding.
I did something for that, and I was actually, I completely changed my approach for that, because I did a similar approach for my, creative practice. Yeah, I did a project for that, because that's when I changed my approach to design. I was a lot more like out there, but I didn't spend as long in research, because I'd spent a bit too long in research, and I was going down areas which I really didn't need to go down. So when I changed that approach to that, I had so many more ideas in my head. So I was like, okay, this is actually great. I've got this, and that, and that. And I think back to when I was originally, how I used to do stuff, it was just tunnel vision. That I have this person I can speak to who will give me information about that. Or if they want me to create a brand for a fast food chain, oh, I'll just research fast food chain, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot more out there now for me, which is great. So I'm very, very happy with that, like how I've overcome that sort of idea of just being a bit more open, but not like exuberant, like in your face with it. I'm just a bit more like open-minded, which is great, because I was a little bit restricted with some of my creative thinking. So yeah,
that's amazing to hear, Michael. Honestly, it's just, I think that's a huge thing to take away from your university experience, because that'll stand you good stead in industry. Because like, I think you can find some of your best ideas when you look a different way or think a different way.
I just think outside the box. I was too busy thinking in like the actual what they want instead of thinking I could maybe do this and incorporate it with this.
Yes.
So it's just been a bit more out like thinking.
Love it. I absolutely love it. The third question I have here for you is, how do you handle creative blocks or moments when you're not feeling very inspired?
Oh, I do a lot. Sometimes I just shut the computer off and sit and go and see my dog for a bit.
I love how simple that is.
What I did last year, which I wish I did a bit more this year, but I was a bit preoccupied with honours, even though it sounds like a really dumb answer to say, is I went runs for a bit.
That's not a dumb answer, is it?
No, but I wish that, like, the idea of like me saying dumb is I wish I did it more this year. I did a lot of runs last year, and that was fantastic, because it was just like I switched my mind off and I set a wee goal, do my 5K, do it in the best way I can and try not get injured, obviously. It was that sort of approach, and that helped me like think of actual ideas, because my mind switched off and I'm focusing, and then I come back and I feel really good after it as well. So I'm in a good mood to do stuff as well because
The sort of dopamine and then endorphins.
And then there's also the usual stuff where I'll just sit and watch TV or I'll play a game or two for a bit just to switch my mind off.
What kind of games do you play?
It was around that time. It was Elden Ring.
What's that? It's like a fantasy game?
Sort of, yeah. Have you ever heard of the games Dark Souls at all?
Yes.
Yeah, it's that sort of genre.
Nice.
It was a fantastic game. When it was around that time, I was starting to play it again. So
yeah.
I was playing that for a bit. It's very stressful, so I don't know why I was playing a stressful game to de-stress myself. But I'm just that good at it, clearly.
Yeah, do you that a lot? Is that something?
Yeah, that's a big thing. I do spend a lot of my free time playing games. It's fun. I've done it since I was a kid when I was in high school. Actually, one thing I did do in high school was I did get a little bit too into the gaming idea, and I one time did this, and I sort of did it again this year where I sort of took off like a game.
Mm-hmm.
I used to play a lot of FIFA growing up, I know. Big hiss, big shame, I know. I went with my exams one year, I took my Xbox off myself because I had 7 exams to do that year. So I was like, there's no way I'm going to play in a game. So I was just purely focusing on that, and I passed them all. So I did something similar this year with the Xbox Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
I got really into a game called Football Manager,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I'm going to spend about 5 hours, from about 12 to 5 playing that. I'm not doing that, so I just cancelled my subscription, and until I finished it, I just renewed it. So
good
I
for
do
you.
So, I do sort of like take the
discipline.
Approach. Discipline, right? It's like that approach, so I make sure that it's not too like caught up in my gaming idea stuff.
Because
so,
you can get a bit lost. 100%,
especially playing that game.
And like 100%. Hours and hours and hours, like you just feel like, oh god, okay, I didn't realise where that time went.
I know, I start playing and I'm like, oh, I'll just play for a wee hour or two, then I look down at my computer, it's 3 a.m. Oh, another hour, that'll do.
I think though, there's a certain opinion people have of gaming, I think, which can be quite wrong. Yes, there's the side of it where it is a bit obsessive and it's a bit crazy. But I think for creative inspiration, it could be really, really great.
They're also just really, especially when I was playing Elden Ring, the actual like design and layout of it, it's amazing. They can inspire you as well sometimes as well, because my older brother was inspired to do game stuff because he does it. He's got a master's in game development now. And he was purely inspired to get his job from games. So they do be an inspiring aspect, but there is obviously sometimes there's an addictive element, but that's up to the person itself and also the game as well, to make sure that they don't get too attached and too wrapped up. It's just having a disciplined like approach to it.
Yes.
You're playing it, so
well,
you don't
there's a reason why gamification is a thing in
100%,
design.
100%. Because,
you know, it's fun, it's more interactive, it's more engaging. Like, it's, I love games, and it's such a good way to find inspiration and like your runs. And like, I love that you just spend time with your dog. What's your dog called?
My dog's called Bon Bon, and she's a little West Highland Terrier, and I love her so much.
Oh, cute!
Show you a picture of it, actually, if you want.
Oh my god, please, I am here for all the dog content.
It's always nice, because I turn on my lock screen, and she always appears.
Oh, yeah, see her. Oh, look at her big nose.
I know, I'll find another one for you, actually. It's a very cute one I took recently. When I was
How
at.
Old is she?
She's 12.
She's 12.
She's a wee old lady.
She's an old girl.
Yeah, she's a wee old lady.
Oh, she's beautiful.
I know. She's so she was sweet. Exhausted that day. We went a massive walk to North Berwick, and she was knackered at the end of it.
Oh no. She's like, I'm done, guys.
She's
take me home.
Absolutely knackered. I had to carry her home for the wee thing.
I love dogs. I've talked about dogs all day. But yeah, I love those inspiration points. They are fantastic. And what has been your highlight of your university experience?
Aside from the 2 years, which were very, very fun and enjoyable, all the people that I met and the lecturers as well, and the introduced stuff as well, that was great. I'll probably say off. I absolutely loved it.
It was great.
It was a great experience, not just because I was away from uni for a couple of days, but it was just really nice. It was inspiring to see some of the media people work as well, and it was also just nice as well because I feel like the whole class got really close from that experience as well.
Because everyone, you've
obviously seen the classes like Group A, Group B, Group C.
Yeah, it's kind of like you've got your
little corners, and I think that trip everyone just sort of merged. And it was really, really nice.
Everyone said that. That was so nice to hear.
It was a really nice experience, and I would do it 100% again.
How did you get there? I know a lot of people were struggling to get there.
Oh, we were all right, actually. I went there with Menon and Lauren. We went to Glasgow Airport for it. So we just
direct flight?
So we just went direct flight from Glasgow.
Brilliant.
Turns out we're on the same flight as the lecturers as well, so that was good. We won't go into the details of how we booked it, because it was a very funny experience. The amount of times someone's messaging in the chat saying, yeah, we should book this. I will book it soon. 2 weeks later, we should book it. I will book it soon.
That always happens, eh? Like,
I mean, I was responsible in booking at the start, but then I panicked and said, I don't know what I'm doing. Somebody else do it.
I know, because I heard some of the guys had to like get down to Manchester. And then
some people went to Belfast as well. It was very like split, but it was
worth it though.
It was worth it, 100% worth it. Yeah. I'm sure, as everyone's probably come in and said that.
Everyone said that's like their.
It was great. It was amazing.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. I keep saying that. Like, it just looked incredible. I'm so happy that what you got out of it was that you were come together as a class. much closer. Like, that's so nice to hear. Because, like, that's what your uni experience should be about. You know what I mean? Like, building relationships and friendships. Right. I mean, 100%. As cheesy as that sounds, right?
No, because it was obviously, COVID happened as well, so...
Of course,
a lot has happened from that, where we couldn't really, like, sort of meet and greet. A lot of the classes were online, so that was a lovely little end bite piece to the university, and that was when everyone got, like, closer as, like, a class as well, which is great. So it was really nice. It was a really good experience.
I'm so chuffed for yous. And how do you feel then about going into industry?
I am actually quite excited, because, well, fun fact about me, I've never actually had a job before. So if I get this opportunity, it's something that's really new to me. So I'm actually excited in the way of just doing it. I just want to get into it, really experience it, know what it is, because I've done the industry stuff, and I know, I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but the practices are there. We've been taught how stuff works, how briefs work, how everything all works. So I want to just get in amongst it and see where I end up from it, really. So I'm excited, weirdly. But obviously, I'm a bit nervous as well. And there's obviously that imposter syndrome of, oh, I don't know if I'm good for this. But I don't know until I go there. So it's just...
Exactly.
It's just waiting to see what opportunity comes up. So fingers crossed.
I'm so glad as well that you said that you've got, like, the practices and the knowledge there. Because I think a lot of students feel like... oh, I don't know if I'll get a job because I've not got any experience. But really, you've got experience. Right. Like, you've been working.
And this is great, because it's great for my CV as well, because I can show that I've done work for, like, BBC, Scoot. Like, I've worked for projects with Dame. So that's something that can be worked out. I can just explain to them. I did this at university. I did a project for blah, blah, blah. So it's great. It's, like, proper a lot of experience as
what
well.
What kind of work do you want to get into?
UI, UX.
UI, UX, yeah.
I did enjoy... It was basically from the BBC one. I was like, I really actually enjoy the process of doing this. I like making apps. I like making the website. This is all pretty cool. So I want to try and do that for the future. So
nice.
Fingers crossed it goes well. Yeah. And also, there's a lot of money in it as well.
That's always helpful. No, it's quite rightly, it should be a well-paid job, because it's a lot that goes into it, and it's, like, you know, the user experience, the user interface, like, all the... And I know that from industry, it's like you usually are just, like, a part, and, like, you know, like, you're not having to do a project from start to finish, you know, building a full app from like ideation concept to final prototype. You're doing, like, a part, an element of that prototype, and you're working on just perfecting that one piece. So that's a great avenue to go down if you really, really enjoy it.
There's obviously the idea is, I'm not just going to purely, like, go towards that. I will still look at trying to do other stuff, like, you know, like a brand identity or a little quick poster or something, because I have been taught those skills as well. So it'd be a waste if I just didn't look at those areas as well. Mm-hmm. But I will not be doing motion graphics.
Oh no, is that a big no?
It's not for me. It's also just because me and After Effects don't get along well.
Not good pals.
not good terms. So no, it's just not for me. But
that's good that you know that, though, and you recognise that. It's funny, we were speaking to Luke before this, and he was saying it's interesting to see what everyone's taken out of the course, and we've all done the same projects, 100%. Mostly, but everyone's found their little
what do you want to do? It is quite cool, actually, that you say that, because there's people I'm speaking to, I want to do motion graphics, I want to do brand identity, but it's just like, we all did the same course, but we're all going in different career paths, which is very cool. But it shows, like, how flexible what we've gotten out of this course is.
Yeah,
we can't just say, I want to do this, I want to do that, but we can do that.
Have you enjoyed it?
I have enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been great. It's been a great 2 years. I have enjoyed it. It's been great.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me so pleased to hear. If you're listening, Helen, David and Mary, it's been great.
It's been fantastic. 10 out of 10.
So my last question for you, Michael, is what is your favourite movie or movie of the week and the tastiest pie that you've ever had?
We'll go into the movie first, because I'll shock you with a pie question.
Okay.
My favourite movie is probably The Dark Knight.
Great choice.
I loved it. The first time I saw it, I think I was about 10 or 12. I know I've missed it 11, but it was around that age range I saw it, and it was really cool. It was a really cool film, and it was the atmosphere, the actual, like, everything about it was just pure action, and I was so engrossed in it. And also, Heath Ledger was an amazing Joker as well for that.
Like, he was just sensational.
He was, like, the best Joker you could get. He just rolled it, and it's obviously... You grow up now, you start to appreciate... Like, it's funny, because I remember my dad said this when I was growing up. He said, when you're older, you start to, like, appreciate the acting of, like, a villain. When you're younger, you don't want to say the villain's good. But when you're older, you're like, oh, he was a great Joker, because he just had the scary aura, everything about it. You felt, like, uncomfortable when he was on set, and you're like, oh, you just perfected it.
Yes. And I'd actually seen a video recently of him, like, the how he won the Oscar for it.
Oh, aye.
And I was like, I didn't know that. And it was so sad, because he's obviously passed away.
I know.
I was like, oh, Jesus.
I saw a video as well. It was the scene where he was, like, breaking the party, like he was just interrupting the party.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, but it was Harvey Dent's wife.
I know exactly her name. Gyllenhaal. She's a Gyllenhaal.
But basically,
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
That scene where he basically had like the knife that was all like improvised. Apparently she was like doing this at the camera guy.
Looking,
saying, can we stop this? Because he was just like, it was like, throw here, knife here, and he was just like in our face. And it was like, it was no wonder they kept it in because it was amazing. Yeah. But you could feel for her because it was like, that was terrifying.
You're like, okay.
This is a guy who's playing a very unhinged character. It's got a knife to my throat. Can we, you know.
Can we cut the tape?
Cut the tape, we'll go again. But no, yeah. As for my pie question, I am not a pie guy.
I'm not a pie guy, no. Oh, what's the closest thing to a pie?
Closest thing to a pie for me? Little fun fact about me, I am an extremely stubborn and fussy eater.
Are you?
Very, very stubborn. I'm starting to break out a wee bit, but I'm still a bit stubborn. The last pie I had was at a Celtic game, and it was years ago, and I remember it just as I was like holding it out, it just started breaking in my hand. Oh. I was like, oh, this is great.
Their pies are rubbish. big club pies, except from Kilmarnock, are shite.
I've heard Kelly's pies are actually quite nice.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to sell like the Kelly pie, as I call it, at Celtic Park, so I remember seeing that.
What? Yeah, I feel like seeing even like a Hampden pie, terrible. The best pie I've ever had was at Bonnie Rig Rose.
Bonnie Rig.
Yeah, Bonnie Rig Rose. That wee park, which is a terrible park, by the way, they had a haggis and steak pie, and it was delightful. That was was it the best football pie I've ever had? Oh, there's so many. But the best football pies I've ever had have been at like smaller teams.
I could see that because it'd be a bit more care and preparation for it. A lot of the bigger clubs will just chuck something in
quantity over quality.
Put it on a heater and say, keep it here till half time. Here you go. It's just breaking apart. And you're like, oh.
Fucking great.
It's fantastic.
What football team do you support? Celtic. Yeah.
Am I going to get in trouble for that?
You're not. You're absolutely not. I was actually at the title party with my family.
Oh, good on you.
And I was like, I need to get out of here. Like, I'm not a guy, so I grew up a Celtic fan.
Ah, yeah.
And then I came away from it, and now I'm an Airdrie fan.
Ah, fair.
But so if I was going to choose anyone from the old firm, it would have to be Celtic. So hail, hail.
Hail, hail. Hail, hail.
Because I know like all the old songs, like it's my dad used to play them all the time in the car, and literally it's like bedded in me.
That's fair. My family is a Celtic family.
Yeah.
Fun fact about my family actually is my grandma, I don't know why I'm saying my granddad's wife, my grandma, she was best friends with Billy McNeil's sister.
Oh wow,
so that's a little fun fact.
There you go.
And I was told that, and I was like, that's pretty cool.
That's so cool. Oh, right. Yeah,
so there's a lot of Celtic that runs in my genes, which is nice.
Green, my blood's green.
My blood's green.
No, honestly, I love hearing what students are passionate about and stuff like that, and I can resonate with football all day. It's just so good.
I never was that into football though when I was growing up. Like I was sporty, but I wasn't into sports when I was growing up. When I got into my high school, it was when I was like properly into football.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played for I enjoyed playing it, but I didn't really watch a lot of it.
Yes.
I played for my school's basketball team a bit as well. So I never really had like an athletic like sort of interest. But then as I got older, I was like, well, this football stuff's pretty cool. The sports stuff's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and then here we are doing it. I've done an honours project on it, which is quite cool.
That is crazy. Yeah, I love that 360. That's so cool. Oh, I love it. So you're not a pie guy. That's okay. We can accept it
I'll happily have that.
You know, it's absolutely fine. But before we head off, is there anything that you want to say, any advice you want to give, anything you want to mention that I haven't asked you before we go?
Not really. I've just come here and I've wanted to have a good little chat, and it's been a nice wee chat. So I appreciate this. This is new to me.
Yeah.
This is quite cool. I quite enjoyed it, I have to say.
Yeah, it's honest. Thank you so much for coming on. Like, I'm so proud of all of you. You've all been amazing this year. I've loved working with you as well and seeing you grow from, you know, when I first met you, and then now it's just like, you're all fantastic. You're all so talented. And I love how, you know, genuinely though, that you're all very, you know, like willing to get out your comfort zone, which I really appreciate. Because, you know me, Michael, I've been driving that home for
you were teaching this, and it was like big to me. It was like, get out your comfort zone. You can do this. This is it's not like pushing you out. It's still in a comfy environment, but it's like something new as well, like speaking on a podcast.
Exactly. So
I guess I could have one thing to say. If there's any UX recruiters listening to this and they want a newbie, Michael McGuigan. LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'll link all your stuff in the bio anyway. So yeah, no, I love that. Love it. So thank you so much for coming on, Michael.
It's been great.
You know, lovely chatting to you.
Thank you so much.